Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. May is Prostate Health Month at SGH, and over two weekends, they will be conducting two webinars to provide us all with information and a deeper understanding of the condition and its treatments. 200 minutes of prostate health will be held via Zoom on Saturday, May 15th and Saturday, May 29th from 10 a.m. to 11:45 a.m. Today, we find out more about prostate cancer coming up next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suite with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Prostate cancer is the third most common cancer among Singaporean men. Now, tests can be done for men with symptoms suggestive of prostate cancer and for those at high risk of developing the disease. We are joined on the phone by Dr. Tay K. Jack, consultant urology SGH, who will be one of the specialists speaking at the webinar on May 29th. Today, we find out more about prostate cancer. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Very nice to meet you.
It is very nice to have you on the show, although this is an interesting topic that I know nothing about. So maybe we start right at the beginning and you can explain to us what is a prostate.
The prostate is actually a walnut-sized organ just at the outlet of the bladder in men. And it's got two functions. One is that it produces majority of the seminal fluid, and it also plays a role in preventing urinary leakage. So in that sense, it's a very important organ.
Okay, it's an important organ and it is specific to men. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, now prostate cancer is the third most common cancer among Singaporean men. Why is this significant? Why is prostate cancer important here in Singapore?
It's a very common cancer. Like you rightly said, we always say that it's the third most frequent cancer among Singaporean men. In fact, the latest publication from the Singapore Cancer Registry shows that it's increased in place to the second most frequent cancer ahead of lung cancer. It's also the fifth most common cause of cancer-related death among Singaporean men. And I always tell my patients that, you know, every man has a prostate. And for most people, one of their loved ones may indeed have a prostate as well. So that makes this a very important condition. Diseases that affect the prostate health, such as prostate cancer or even benign enlargement, can definitely cause a great deal of symptoms or suffering.
All right. So it is very, very common. Every man has a prostate. And yet it feels like not a lot of men talk about it. And maybe they're not taking as good care of it as they should.
Exactly. Sometimes patients ask me, or some patients who are diagnosed with prostate cancer are very surprised and they say, "Doc, you know, I actually didn't have any symptoms or signs at all. How would somebody, you know that they have prostate cancer?" And indeed, initially, in the early part of the disease, there are no signs or symptoms at all. We have men who often come to us only because they went for a blood test, the PSA blood test, which is often used to detect early prostate cancer. And that may be the only sign that there's something is going on at all. Unless the disease, the cancer, has become very advanced, then it can actually obstruct the urinary passage, causing bleeding in the urine or feces and inability to pass urine. Or it has spread and it goes to the bones, typically causing bone pain. So unless it's advanced or it has spread, typically there are no symptoms at all.
Okay, so what then are some of the telltale signs that men should be looking for? Is there, for example, a self-examination that they can do, like, you know, with women and the breasts?
Well, the prostate is quite a deep-seated organ, and it's actually just in front of the rectum. So for men who are interested in getting their prostate examined, they often have to go to their doctor, typically their GP or the polyclinic doctor, who would do a rectal examination for them in order to feel whether there are any lumps or nodules on their prostate gland. There is actually no easy way to do a self-examination. Typically, after the rectal examination, your doctor would order a PSA blood test, which, if elevated, tells of the increased risk of prostate cancer. And that's when patients get referred to us for further evaluation.
Okay, so who would be at most risk for prostate cancer?
It is such a common cancer that studies have shown that with an increasing age, there's an increasing prevalence of prostate cancer. Often we tell men that it's something that they have to think about and have a conversation with their physician, typically between the ages of 55 to 70. So age is certainly a factor. The other very important thing is a family history of prostate cancer. Men who have a close male relative who has had prostate cancer are at increased risk of having cancer themselves. And that risk is particularly high when they have two very close male relatives with prostate cancer.
So you're saying like a parent or a sibling?
Yes, a parent or a sibling.
Okay. That's because it's so common, is very possible.
Exactly.
Okay. And you're saying at the early point of prostate cancer, there are no symptoms. So you're really quite flying blind if you're a man and you're concerned about it. So you really do have to have that conversation with your doctor.
Exactly. Yep.
Whenever you're concerned and there is a family history, do you just go in and say, "Doc, give me that blood test. I want to know."
Yeah, I think having had a conversation of what that blood test could mean and, you know, what are the downstream effects, this is one of the talks at the webinar that we're going to address this issue of whether using PSA as a screening tool and how to get your prostate cancer diagnosed. That's one of the things we're going to be talking about.
All right. Okay. Now, what are the chances of full recovery if you are diagnosed with prostate cancer?
You know, only 1 in 6 men diagnosed with prostate cancer eventually die of the cancer. That means 5 out of 6 men die with their cancer rather than of it, which means that most prostate cancer is not actually lethal and it doesn't cause death. But in 1 in 6 men, it still does. So the key question is, how do we identify these 1 in 6 men? And these are the men who we try to cure them so that they can achieve a full recovery. And often it depends at what stage the cancer is diagnosed. When it's diagnosed at an early stage, there's actually a very high chance of cure, either through removing the entire prostate, prostate irradiation, or some of the newer treatments where we can destroy that area of cancer. When it's early and it's small and we can take care of it, you know, the chances of recovery are very high. However, if the cancer is very late or advanced, it's already spread and gone beyond the prostate gland, then in that case, it's only possible to control it for a period of time. But that's the time when cure is no longer possible.
Okay. I have two questions from what you just said. One, you know, we're talking about late stage when it's advanced. It spreads. What does that mean? Spreads to where?
Well, typically it spreads to the lymph nodes or the bone. The lymph nodes are these little areas of tissue that are within our body that actually act as a policeman, if you will. They arrest infections and produce some of our immune cells. And the cancer cells typically spread there and get stuck there. Or they may spread to the bone, where they will cause bone pain, and they may even cause bone fractures if they are severe.
Okay. And at that point, what kind of timelines are these patients looking at? Most of them won't die from it, but that one unfortunate man who might or does, what kind of timeline from this advanced stage are we talking about?
Exactly. Once they reach this advanced stage, typically they can survive on average for about 4 to 5 years. And that's an average. So if one is unlucky, it could be a shorter period of time. If one is lucky, then they might actually be able to survive for a longer time.
Right. Okay. So, and what kind of treatments are we talking about? I mean, there are new advances in medical technology that enable cancer patients to go on and live active, productive lives. What are some of these treatments available to Singaporeans today?
So for cancer, which is in the early stage and is highly curable, the gold standard of treatment has really been either total surgical removal of the prostate or irradiation of the prostate. And both of these are treating the entire prostate gland. There's a very high chance of cure and a high chance of success, but it does come with side effects as well. Some of those side effects include bleeding from the urination after radiation therapy and after surgical removal, because I did mention that one of the important functions of the prostate gland is to help hold urine and prevent urinary leakage. So some of these men develop urinary leakage after prostate removal. And in both cases, when they have had prostate removal surgery or radiation therapy, they can get problems with erectile dysfunction, which really negatively impacts their quality of life from a sexual point of view, especially for the sexually active men.
Right.
I
was actually going to ask you about that, because you know you were talking about removal, but it is quite an important little organ. What would it mean long-term in their lives?
Right. It's often a life-changing event. Men often need to spend the better part of their first year regaining their urinary control by training of their pelvic floor muscles. And in 5% of men, they do develop a permanent sort of urinary leakage problem.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, the erectile function, the ability to have erections, takes some time to recover, and in many cases, it doesn't recover at all. So there is an impact on the quality of life.
Sure.
And that's why we've at SGH, we've been looking at a different kind of treatments to, you know, maintain patients' quality of life. We have an active surveillance program, which we'll be speaking about at a webinar, mm-hmm. where we try to identify men who are unlikely to die from the cancer. And that way, we can keep them on surveillance while they live with their cancer, which is not going to harm them. And we also have a focal therapy program where we are treating just the area of cancer within the prostate. And this is suitable for cancers that have only been localized to just one area within the prostate rather than being distributed throughout the prostate. So we've had patients come to ask us, Doc, why do we have to remove the entire prostate gland when this cancer is just in that one spot?
Mm-hmm.
And why can't you just remove that little lump there? And right now at the Singapore General Hospital, we are using a freezing technique called cryotherapy where we just place a needle inside the area where the cancer is and freeze and destroy the cells there. So that's an exciting new treatment that we have, you know, to control their cancer and maintain their quality of life, because this is done as a day treatment with a very minimal impact on their sexual function and their ability to control their urination thereafter.
I was going to ask, would removing the prostate be the first or last choice a doctor makes?
That's a very good question, Clarissa. And for the longest time, removing the entire prostate gland would have been the first option that a doctor would make for a patient, because we all want our patients to be totally cured of the cancer. But we do have more and more patients who are being diagnosed perhaps at a younger age when they are sexually active,
mm-hmm.
patients who are more well-read, and they would like to have a less invasive treatment for their prostate cancer, one that is just enough, or one perhaps that could be customized to the patient. Rather than taking a, you know, full-on approach of removing the prostate gland. And by carefully selecting these patients, those in whom the cancer is very favorable for this kind of treatment, we are able to customize their care in this way.
Okay, so it's not an automatic, it's gone, we're taking it out. Now it depends very much on the patient itself.
Exactly.
That's much better, I think. I'm trying to assume the kind of trauma, emotional trauma, that would lead to a decision for a patient, because you are talking about changing their life and their lifestyles.
Exactly. It's a huge change to their lifestyle. I mean, it's in a very sensitive part of the body and as such has many of those consequences.
Okay, so you are going to be addressing some of these and the treatments in your talk on the webinar, which is on the 29th, correct?
That's right. We have two webinars. One is on the 15th of May, which is the one that is focused on the benign prostate enlargement. Our webinar on prostate cancer is on the 29th of May.
Okay, and it's open to anyone and everyone in the public?
It's open to everyone in the public.
Okay, that's excellent. So if anyone who is listening to this wants to have more information, or are they going to have an opportunity to ask questions of you specialists?
Totally. We have five talks of 15 minutes each, and there's a long segment after that for patients to ask questions and either in the chat, where the whole panel of experts will be able to respond to their questions.
Okay. And they can register for these webinars now?
So we actually have a Facebook page where patients are able to register for the webinar, and they'll be given a Zoom link which they can use to attend this webinar on the 15th and 29th of May.
All right. Now, the webinar is called 200 Minutes of Prostate Health, correct?
That's right.
Part one and part two. So if you have concerns, if you have questions, I recommend very strongly that you register for these seminars. We've been speaking with Dr. Tay K. Jack, consultant, urology, SGH. Doctor, thank you for the information. It's been quite interesting.
Thank you very much, Clarissa.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. If you want to find out more about their upcoming 200 Minutes of Prostate Health webinar, please visit their Facebook page. This is Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.